So this morning, that's kind of a long passage. So if you would allow me to read this for us, the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. They put together a crown of thorns. They put it on him. And they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And he compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him he crucified two robbers, one on his right, one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders hearing this said, "Behold, he called for Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And then the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last. He said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was a day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted a corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Let's cry together and pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again to come together before your word. I tell you that if we read this account, as we go through it together, we take it step by step, walking through the crucifixion of our Savior Jesus, that you would help us to not just read these words and think, yes, I know this, I've read this, I see this, I've been here before, but as we come together before the cross, that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to our hearts and help us to see afresh and anew what it is that is taking place here, and to consider, to understand what this means for us. God, help me as I go through what you've been chewing on me with this week. I pray that you would speak through me to all of us, that we would hear you speaking to our hearts, and that if we come anew before the cross, that our lives would indeed be changed. And we would be encouraged and strengthened to live as you have called us to live, through the broken body and the shed blood of your Son, Jesus. Thank you. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are picking up where we left off last Sunday. It is Friday morning, early. Jesus has been through 6 trials, which is all focused on taking Jesus down and out. And Jesus has been delivered by the Roman procurator Pilate, the Roman soldiers, to be scourged and to be crucified, which takes place probably in the fortress of Antonia, which was the Roman military barracks, which overlooked the temple courts. It was there so the Romans could keep track of what was going on in the temple courts. The fortress of Antonia housed the cohort of the 10th Legion, which was 600 fighting men plus support personnel. And it was the Jerusalem headquarters of Pilate. Pilate, who's in Jerusalem for the Passover, to maintain order and to make sure that the taxes are collected and the tribute is sent to Rome. That's his job. Maintain order, collect taxes, tribute goes to Rome. So as we noted last Sunday, Pilate, being in a precarious position because of politics in Rome, and because of his previous failures in Judea, Pilate is fearing the crowd, he's fearing for his life, and he delivers Jesus then to be scourged, delivers him over to be scourged and to be crucified, which was brutal. A scourge had a short wooden handle which had several thongs that were attached to it, and the ends of the thongs were equipped with pieces of lead or brass with sharply pointed pieces of bone. And generally, 2 men were employed to administer the punishment, one lashing the victim from one side, the other lashing the victim from the other side, and the result was that the flesh was lacerated to such an extent that the deep-seated veins and arteries and sometimes entrails and organs were exposed. And there were 2 purposes for scourging someone. One was to create fear, as in, I really don't want this to happen to me. And second, scourging was a precursor to the crucifixion because it's shortened the time of the victim that's been on the cross. And that's for a scourger to scourge someone within an inch of their life. And so Mark records, telling me verse 16, that as Jesus is scourged, the other soldiers in this fortress were called to watch. And as they watched, they began to mock Jesus, to further humiliate Jesus based on his claim to be the King of the Jews. And they dressed Jesus in a purple cloak, a purple being a royal color, and they twisted together a crown of some thorns which they shoved down on his head, thorns that were probably more like 2 to 3 inches long, and they mockingly saluted him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then instead of handing him a reed, like a royal scepter, which would have been humiliating enough, they beat him on the head with the reed, and they began to spit on him and to kneel before him in a fake submission and respect. Mark says, homage is trampled. The Greek word has the idea of worship, fake worship. And ironically, their words, their actions, they reveal the truth. Because before them really is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the potentate of the creation. And one day, all of creation will kneel before Jesus, including those soldiers who are now mocking him. But now, blinded by deluded by their own politics and ego and religion and their perspective of the world, they have no clue who Jesus is, and so they mock him. The prophet Isaiah writes of Jesus that many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. And then they removed this purple cloak, which may have been by this time matted to his skin with the blood it's appearing, and so removing it means tearing it away from his already shredded skin, and they put his clothes back on him, and they led him out to be crucified. Isaiah again writes, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 21, the comes of the crucifixion. At this point, Jesus would have been turned over to a exactor mortis. And that title means something like exactor of death. Someone who extracts or compels the strength of death. And the exactor mortis was usually a centurion command of a squad of four soldiers called a quaternion. And these were the specialists of the Romans and the spirit of the Bible. And they were the ones who were crucified and their feet. The sign is mentioned by name by the gospel writers, which means probably by the first century, he's probably known by the first century Christians. And Mark also mentions the same Bible in Luke, probably the next of writing to you. I know it's the Roman which ultimately is not a long walk. It's about a quarter of a mile if you want to dip the lights here. If you walk today on the Via Della Rosa, literally the Path of Pain, which today is full of pilgrims and tourist shops and tourists, and at the end of which is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So the path is on the left here. The church is on the right, if you can see that. It's also full of pilgrims. It's also full of tourists and no shops. But it's very crowded, and it's very removed from the events of 2,000 years ago. Cool. Thanks. So arriving at Golgotha, the Romans, they prepared to crucify Jesus. All that is so removed. It's amazing. You go there and you just come back
they came on to the next reception, he's nothing. The original reception is a little cave that was known as a potted golem, or it's a cross beam. And so when they get back to Golgotha, the potted golem would have been fitted into this stump.
The first thing that I'm going to do is to bring
And Jim Griffith, for a long time, he served in the mission of the United States. When his shoulders were on a level with his hands, breathing was rapid and easier. Like the other two, he fought the pain in his feet in order to breathe rapidly for a few moments. Then, unable to bear the pain below, was halfway inside and grown from the stomach. He let his torso sag lower and lower to the feet, projecting a little in time until the deep shot he felt himself behaving by his lips. And the process must have been repeated again. Verse 26. He closed the pilot in order to find the face of the deep. The king of the Jews, his mayor, then powerfully objected to Pilate's actions. He was crucified as a political rebel. It may have been something passive aggressive on Pilate's part. Pilate didn't back into the leader, ultimately, as he said, to Jesus' humiliation. Verse 27 reports that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. More prophecy is fulfilled. Isaiah 53:12, God's will and purpose is being accomplished here. Matthew 4, the human thieves began to revile Jesus to taunt him with their sarcastic comments. Verse 29, then to those who passed by, who did declare the comment coming from the crowd. People who may have either in person by word of mouth, they heard Jesus proclaim the Messiahship, but who were teaching and who they heard about him, who were miracles, who were the church. He's not a rabbi, he's not a prophet. Maybe somebody said some things that are worth thinking about, but definitely over the top about the Son of God stuff. If he really is all those things, he wouldn't be hanging on a cross. Verse 31, so also the chief priests and scribes, you know, the religious hierarchy, the political heads of the Jewish nation, the Sanhedrin, those who should have believed in Jesus, should have recognized him for who he is, should have gotten on board with him, should have been pointing out his portions, so they also mocked Jesus. He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross and be there, see and believe. I don't believe they're getting sanitized Hebrews in the morning. But they must have said. What if the problem is being saved as well? I'm going to go to the next one. This is the will and the plan of God. Thank you.
I saw that it was for the first to protect people from what? So the Holy Ghost is to be offered upon him, covering his cross, to share the glory as he saw the revealed presence of the Holy God. And even for the priest, he's uniquely selected to go beyond that curve inappropriately meant death. To make your own kinds of things with death. To serve as separated humanity out from the Holy Church of God, to serve the God of the top, to God, supernaturally by God, because of the work of the atoning man sacrificed on the cross for us, the long stand separation between the top and God.
The verb in Greek is phoreo, which means to observe with the same interest for the purpose of gaining understanding. It's like a baseball study. You can think, On Tuesday in 1927, the number of people who get over the left side, they have statistics for that, right? Because he had the urgency and the necessity, and he asked Pilate to give his body.
However, the injuries from for the Passover committee in order, just after the people couldn't go on the road, to carry to Jerusalem, however, he does not want to violate Jewish religious customs. Sabbath is coming. The agency was expected to cross made a pen on Jesus and death. Pilate finds the centurion to exact in mortis and the third that Jesus is exact dead. This is exact in mortis dead. Because his life depends on Jesus being dead. And he's able to give Pilate this to verify accurately for that Jesus is in fact dead. Hold on to that, because some people don't understand that Jesus really was dead, right? There is no possibility that they crucified the wrong guy. Or maybe there was a volunteer someplace, a volunteer in this place. But if Jesus was fainted because after being beaten to a pulp, then when he woke up in the tomb, he rolled away this boulder and he escaped past the special guards, meaning that he really didn't die, but he later ran off with Mary Magdalene to the south of France to follow along with future fancy king, while the disciples of Caesarea had hoped for that resurrection, to say all except for John got martyred horribly about, saying it all really happened. You will hear all that if you haven't heard it. Jesus is dead. And his body is turned over to Joseph, who with some oil, and other doctor writes, will tell you some oil, and his body is divided by Nicodemus, wrapped Jesus' body in a linen that was probably done in the week of burial, and they laid Jesus in the unused tomb that Joseph had acquired to his family, more prophecies to fill, and they rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Verse 47, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. And that word saw, to put a letter in there. So listen intently with his eyes. After this long, exhausting traumatic period, he went exactly for the king, and his kids, and they finally sense of it all. What is the song? Processing all that for ourselves. All of Jesus' ministry needs to be viewed from the perspective of his final week of ministry. And all of his final week of ministry comes down to this moment and what we know is coming on Sunday. But not only that Sunday, but the Jesus sitting there on that night in front of that tomb, look at those things. Wouldn't you do a lot for me? You can wonder, how is that happening? How do you respond to it? Two takeaways that our words are thinking about, meditating on, and the time between now and then in the celebration of Jesus' resurrection. First, he says, that he died for you to be. Martha, the doctor, according to that story. Here we try Jesus. The Jesus didn't fix me as you can see in front of him. He committed that sin. He did it to keep down to his name. When he revived, he did not revive his name. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He continued in trusting himself to him who gave his justice. He himself bore our sin on his body and to believe. He comes to death and the blood of our hand and the blood in our place to meet God's nature that he is not him, and he is not here with him, and he is with him, and he is in different situations, and he is very well at his sufferings and times that he is in his life. So he is here, not giving him one to the living of him, the son. He
that is the real you. That's the real you. Jesus said, go to life as the woman you missed. The son laid down his life for his sins. You are not dead. We have to accept Jesus at the same cost. Not me, but a perfect, complete one for you. You don't know anything. So give us because that's so like we are today. We just we go on with our lives, and then we have this weird idea that we just can do wrong things, and we lose touch with the reality of it. I don't know. Tell me what you can go do with your family thoughts. We come before you with those that just live and sin and we don't even understand our brokenness. We know suffering, but we don't understand how broken we are and how much pain we feel. We're so different, we're so different, we're so different. We're so different from that. We can't live it as a good from the cross because we love us, we die in our faith, we from the cross, but it's just that we deserve. I pray that you would keep bringing us over and over again to your grace and your love and your heart. Thank you for Jesus before us on the cross and on your heart. Keep trying to pray after him as well. God bless you for Jesus before us on the cross and on your heart. God, thank you for loving. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Father, we pray that you would help us teach us how we should live and respond to what you have done for us. But I pray also that this week you would keep reminding us that you died on the cross, Jesus died, and you said, because of us. We pray in the name of Christ, Jesus, sacrifice the name of God, Jesus.